Hello, everyone. This is Susie Ward welcoming you to the fourth Matthew and Friends program. For the benefit of new listeners, I am Matthew's mother. He left his earth lifetime in 1980, when he was 17. Actually, yesterday was the 27th anniversary of his fatal vehicle crash. And we have talked telepathically every day since early 1994. If you would like to know more about Matthew and what has transpired since we connected over 13 years ago, you'll find a lot of interesting reading on www.matthewbooks.com. Matthew's friends are living in physical or in spirit civilizations throughout the universe. He and I talk about the information that he wants to share with our audience and which Earth friends to invite to share this hour with you. Our topic today is a vital one to publicize, our extraterrestrial family. The two men who will be joining me are eminently qualified to talk about the reality of other civilizations and our interdimensional universe. Some of you may know James Gilliland, Gilliland from his own program on BBS Radio, and know that he's been in contact with members of our ET family for over 25 years. But for you who may not know that, this started as the result of his near-death experience in 1979, and since then he has been studying, teaching, writing, and speaking about his experiences. Also, he has filmed the ongoing spacecraft activity around Mount Adams, which is near his home in Washington State, and where he built the Self-Mastery Institute and Conference Center. Mark Kimmel, our other guest today, his interest in UFOs motivated him to leave his career in corporate America about 20 years ago, so he could devote his time to researching documentation and interviewing people about spacecraft phenomena and their experiences. His discoveries confirmed what he felt was true, that members of advanced civilizations have landed on Earth and that our government has been engaged in a massive cover-up for many years. Mark has been sharing what he learned through his books and speaking tours all around the country. James and Mark, hello. And thank you for being with us today.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure, Susan. Thank you.
Well, thank you both. Both of you have written immensely enlightening and thought-provoking books. Mark, I'm going to speak about yours first, about the two books of the trilogy. Well, I think that they're the only two books so far published of the trilogy, Trillion and Decimal. These are exciting adventure novels about the interplanetary beings who left their beautiful homeland and their families and risked their lives to come to Earth because of their unconditional love for us. They told whoever would listen that we also are interdimensional beings, and we have the same capacity for unconditional love that they have. They explain how we can live in peace and harmony and cooperation with each other, with Earth herself, and with other civilizations. The adventure part is the many attempts to silence those benevolent beings by the few people whose secret and elaborate network of deception and violence are controlling the entire world. The thing is, the timeline of these books is today, not a century from now or even 10 years from now. But other civilizations are here now. My point in briefly describing Mark's novels is that so much of that story is strikingly similar to the information that I've received telepathically for the past 13 years. And it's the same as in your book, James, Reunion with Source. I know you received that information telepathically, too, from Kazekiel. And one of his many lifetimes is as the Ezekiel in the Bible. I'm not at all surprised that most of what Ezekiel told you is the same as what my many sources have told me. But what I think is so significant are the great similarities in Mark's novels and the Matthew books and Reunion with Source. To me, this indicates that fiction, in quotes, about extraterrestrials has left the usual science fiction, and it's accurately depicting what's going on in our world today. To me, this is a sign that what every one of us knows at soul level is beginning to reach our consciousness. Not only that Mark was inspired to write these books, but that they are resonating with readers. James, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think first, have I met you, Mark, or?
James, you and I have not met.
I didn't think we had. I've heard your name before, and I think we've spoken at different conferences that we...
Yes, we have. We've seen
the past.
I don't think we actually have ever shaken hands or exchanged a hug.
Well, we'll have to do that.
Indeed.
But I definitely commend your work, and it's very refreshing to have somebody else out there that's giving a positive message, you know, concerning the presence of our off-world visitors. There is definitely such a negative spin on it, and there is a reason for that negative spin, and that's, you know, to promote the divisions and the war industry and to keep everybody subservient, you might say. But, you know, it is refreshing to see there are other people out there that are actually, you know, putting a very benevolent, loving, joyous message out there concerning a lot of our off-world visitors. What I get constantly is people trying to push the agenda of, well, you know, they're here to eat us, abduct us, torture us, you know, you name it, the fear motive program in there, you know, I get that over and over and over again, and it's kind of sad that the benevolent side and the extremely spiritually and technologically advanced ones just really aren't getting the press right now.
You know, it's it is an interesting dichotomy out there in that there are a lot of people, particularly the ones who are garnering a lot of publicity, that seem to get a lot more mileage out of the dark side of things than the benevolent. But I've had the opportunity now to travel around the country and meet with hundreds of people, most of them individually, on a one-on-one type of thing. And that's been part of my journey these last few years. I haven't been doing as much public speaking maybe as you, but I have met with an awful lot of people. And by and large, I would say 90% of those people have a very positive outlook on our off-world visitors, which is refreshing,
mm-hmm.
because it's so different from that which is out there publicly. And, you know, I have yet to have any of those bad experiences. And I've had some experiences, but none of them, whether it's watching, you know, UFOs or identified flying objects, as I like to call them, or whether it's interacting with a group of people or, you know, telepathic messages, whatever it turns out to be, I've had none of the really dark side with maybe one or two very minor exceptions. And to me, it's mostly a white universe with the dark exceptions. To me, that's a helpful way of looking at things. And I understand that there is an ongoing tussle back and forth between the two sides, but I find it very uplifting to go and primarily look upon this in terms of through the eyes of other people who have had also very uplifting experiences. And so that's what I write about and what I tried to convey in those two books.
Yeah, I would say my experiences too. I've only had one that I wouldn't even call it a negative experience. It's an experience where I had to set some boundaries with one of the little grays they talk about, and basically it was just what I find is if you're not really using your full potential or your brain, they can overpower you. But if you set spiritual boundaries with them, they back away. And there's a lot of protection that comes with working with benevolent energies. They just automatically leave you alone. I think they sense the frequencies or vibrations. And but I would say 99.9% of my experiences have all been very uplifting, healing, very illuminating experiences with just an incredible frequency exchange where I felt the love and the joy and the bliss. And, you know, there's an old saying that the lie travels twice around the world, you know, before the truth has time to tie its shoes, you know. And that's kind of what's happening, I think, with all the fear and the suspense nonsense around the ETs. It's you know, people are programmed for, you know, the fear and suspense and the movie theaters. And you got to have an enemy and a savior and a damsel in distress, you know, to make the box office hit. So it's kind of sad that they're doing that program. Contact, I thought, was an excellent movie. And, the little E.T. one was pretty good, too. But after that, it pretty much went downhill.
The experience I've had in other countries is quite different than here in the U.S. in that I was down in Costa Rica not too long ago, and during a workshop down there, I got off the airplane and I was interviewed by three newspapers and I was on television that evening. What was so interesting was not the interviews, but the fact that the people that were interviewing me were telling me their experiences and the fact that it's a weekly television program giving people the opportunity there in Costa Rica to talk about their experiences. So the whole thing is very open. People are very, very interested in it and much, much more willing to talk about it. It's like it's a topic of conversation.
You know, I experienced the exact same thing in Mexico. I went down to Mexico for a little R&R, and I ran into some people I knew down there. And one of the guys actually worked on the Roswell movie. And he owns, it was in Sayulita, Mexico, he owns the fish taco down there. And it was pretty interesting, but they asked me if I would give a talk at this little place called Blue Iguana, where everybody meets. It's a place where they show films and all the latest films and things of that nature. And they had a Bob Dylan movie going on, and so he went down there with me and asked me if I would give a talk. And the people are gringos, actually, that were running the movie end of it, and they go, oh, nobody's going to really care about the UFOs. You know, we're not going to show it. And I just said, well, you know, as you wish, I said, but I guarantee you, I looked in the audience, and there was nine people in the audience watching this Bob Dylan thing. And I said, if you put flyers out, I guarantee you this place will fill up. I said, I know I can bring a lot more than nine people in. So they did, and it's 3 days' notice, and they put flyers up, and the place was just jam-packed with people. And what I noticed is the talk that I gave was a lot about the other dimensions and a lot of paranormal things combined with the UFO. And they just accepted the UFO, you know, information. They go, yeah, so what? We see them all the time. It's just part of their culture. And they're really fascinated by the paranormal things, you know, in the photographs that I had of beings stepping out of plasma fields and things like that. That really excited them much more than the UFO. So it is a very accepted theme, it seems, in all the other countries except for the U.S., where there's just been such a heavy cover-up for the past 60 years.
That, and then, you know, the information that's coming out over there in France, mm-hmm. I think is very positive, and I hope that they can get things working to where all of that information will be made to people, being available to people, and all types of things like that. I think they're so encouraging, and yet here in the U.S., we still have the power play going on with the media, which everybody thinks we have such a, you know, a free press in this country until I see something like this going on. You know, I saw the Disclosure Project a few years ago and watched that whole thing play out, and all of a sudden nothing ever made it into the media, and that was a key for me to say, you know, there's really something going on here. Mm-hmm. There's a huge cover-up. And it certainly has continued since that day. And it's been going on, as now as I find out about it, it's been going on for you know, 50 years and probably several hundred years. But it's the power play.
Gentlemen, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Let me jump in here. I probably should have done it earlier. To make a clarification, Mark, when you said that with two very minor exceptions, all of your experiences have been great, and then James was mentioning a few of his, specifically I remember saying that when you approach the Grays on a spiritual basis, they back off. What I want to clarify is that James was speaking of his interaction with the members of upper civilizations. And I think that what you are referring to as all of your experiences have been positive is Earth humans' reactions to what you're saying, as opposed to your personal interactions with any extraterrestrials. Now, is that correct?
Susie, yes. Yes and no.
Okay.
As with all of these things, it's always a yes and a no. I have had interactions with four different entities that were in and are in human form, but are very clearly non-terrestrial, okay? Mm-hmm. And these four, out of hundreds and hundreds of people that I have met, are the four that gave me some problems. Very interesting story. We were sitting down, and we had met these folks and talked with them and got to know them a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the people began to divulge a little bit of who they were and that type of thing. And one of them looks at me and says, "Well, you know, after all, that this is our planet." And
really? Well, do you know what civilization that represents?
That was Anunnaki.
Uh-huh. I think that may explain that. I haven't read Sitchin's books. Actually, I'm not supposed to be reading other people's channeled information all that much. The idea is to keep my mind free of others' knowledge so that it couldn't overlay or bleed into the information that I receive from my sources. But at any rate, that is the dark attitude that this is our planet. And in a sense, that's part of the group that we call either the Illuminati or the elitists, the shadow government, that is over like the umbrella group that is still controlling our world to some extent through the media, through governments, through banking, and through certainly the entertainment world. Tell me, what was the reaction to the other three, or were the four of them together when you had that in that conversation?
No, all separate interactions, but there was another one of them who would call herself a Nibiruan, which, as far as I can tell, is the same thing. The conversation I had with her was, I had been referred to her as someone that might be very interesting to talk with, and it was a telephone conversation, and her first words out of her mouth is, "Why are you calling me?" Like, of all people, why would you show up? So the conversation kind of went downhill from there. The other two were people that I met.
Pardon me, but did you get the impression that from what you told her that she didn't want her human cover blown?
Yeah, she is billing herself as a very benevolent teacher, coach, that type of person, and running around the country offering to, for a few thousand dollars, to reconnect people's missing strands of DNA.
I see. Is her first name Jalayla?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you. I know about this.
Okay.
Heck, we'll do it $49.95.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know about that also, James?
You know, there are so many people running around. What I found out, you know, doing a lot of therapy with people, is that, you know, a lot of us in our soul are more ET than we are from Earth. And there are some people that are running around that have not really owned their Earth life, you might say, or a lot of the old wounds and traumas, you know, in this life experience, and they just jump into another expression. And I've seen that over and over again, and they will take on some major handle or major name or something and say, "I'm this, I'm that," but, you know, they forgot to pick up that wounded little child that they left behind. And I run into that quite a bit. You know, you can really judge them by the amount of love and joy and bliss they carry with them in the service, you know, how defensive they become if you challenge them. You can tell exactly where they're at in consciousness. But I've run into that quite a bit, I just focus on mainly empowering the individual to make their own personal connection with spirit, you know, it's I don't really connect people's DNA strands. That's already happening, you know, on a much bigger scale. But you know, there is a lot of things going on out there, it's, I think the key is we have to look at that. You know, how does this empower me as an individual to make my own personal connection with spirit, is it creating a dependency? And a lot of these real complicated programs are born out of the mind and not out of spirit. A lot of the Tibetan masters I studied with, they said there's so few Christed beings on this planet because it's so damn simple. You know, they said, you know, focus
yes.
on love and joy and bliss until you become it, you know, and do your meditation time, you know. And I don't really think there's any real drive-in enlightenment programs. You know, like, there's a lot of, like, avatar programs. If you have enough money, you know, you can get your certificate and be an avatar. And it's not about money. You know, it's about doing the work and cleaning up your own consciousness.
Well, and I agree with you. I guess what I object to with some of these people is charging big money because they bill themselves as having something more to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being humble enough to say, you know, "I am working on that which needs to be worked on, just like the rest of you." I've had lots of these one-on-one conversations I referred to, and you can call them therapy or you can call them conversations, whatever you want to. And these generally are people that are, you know, they're genuinely searching for answers. They're genuinely searching. It's the ones who are taking advantage of the situation and trying to make a buck out of it that really troubles me.
And I think, too, making a buck on the dark side is even, you know,
yeah,
worse. Not to be in judgment, but, you know, we have to really look at what kind of seeds are we sowing, you know, what are we planting here? And, you know, the bottom line is we just have to learn to live in harmony with each other and nature, and we'll all get along and stop the division and separation game going on.
Yeah. Susie, I'd like to come back to the two books for just the two books that I originally thought I was writing fiction, shall we say. And indeed, they are fictional books, but there's so many people that have read those and then find that they have a connection to them that they come to me and they say, well, Mark, this is kind of like the story of my life. How did you know? So those books came about in a very unusual way for me. I'm an old business guy. I, as you said, came out of the corporate world, out of the world of finance, and I had never envisioned myself as a writer. That was not one of the things I'd put on my list of things I'd like to do during my lifetime. And I had gone back to school to get a master's degree in psychology and was sitting down at my computer doing academic paper. This was now 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, these books began to spill out. And then I began to have some of the real experiences with UFOs and all of these conversations and so on. And I found out that I did not have to go and change anything in the books that had been written after I had the factual information. So I find that very interesting. And I tell people about that, and they say, well, Mark, where did that come from? And I say, I don't know where it came from. But, you know, that's the way these things work sometimes.
I agree.
Well, apparently you signed up in your pre-birth agreement to be a writer. Because you obviously have the talent for telling an exciting story.
Thank you.
You know, I was shocked when after I sat down and I wrote a book and I just put it aside. I didn't do anything with that one. And then the second one I wrote was Reunion with Source. And after I was finished writing the book, I spent quite a few years meditating on it, clarifying it, and getting it real concise to make sure there wasn't any ego or other things in there. And, you know, afterwards I read it, because you're almost like in a fog when you're writing and bringing the stuff out. But after I read the book, I go, where did that come from?
Yeah,
and, I can relate to that.
Yeah, and it just...
And how?
And then people will quote things back to me in the book, you know, and it's almost like another life.
Did I write that?
Yeah, and I said, oh, that was good. Who wrote that? So.
Yes, I occasionally I get questions about the book. Somebody who didn't understand something that Matthew or one of the other sources had said, and it's just a blank for me. So fortunately, computers have this feature of find.
Mm-hmm.
So I've located the area, you know, the portion of the material that they are questioning, and I'm just amazed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a totally new concept to me, and yet, of course, it's exactly verbatim what I had received.
I have a question for you, Susie.
Yeah.
There's something going on here, and I don't know if Matthew's covered it because I've been away from my computer, but there's a portal or some kind of an opening right in the Milky Way. It's right at the Big Dipper, at the handle of the Big Dipper. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been watching it, and I saw 14 ships last night there. Two nights ago, I saw 16 ships, and we actually saw a beam of light like exchanges going on, almost looks like laser exchanges, large beams of light coming out of one of the bigger ships and hitting, and actually hitting the smaller one, and it lit it up and it just disappeared. And there's something going on. I don't know if, but the information I've been getting is that there is some skirmishes going on, and there are some groups that are told they can no longer interfere with the planet, and they're trying to control things, and I think they're pretty much being, I don't want to use the word eliminated, but they've been warned over and over and over again, and now there is some very strong action being taken.
Matthew, this is all news to me. He hadn't mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
He said that skirmishes is a good word to use there. What is going on is that the energy vortex is the expression he is using, that those are new ones are opening, and the ones that are already open are expanding,
mm-hmm.
and that they that eventually this what we are thinking of now as portals will be like an entire bubble around Earth. An extensive light barrier. Anything, other barrier sounds so strong, as if you're trying to keep, you know, somebody in. But it's not that. It is a shield. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shield that will totally surround the planet. It's a light shield,
mm-hmm.
and light and love, which are two sides of the same coin,
mm-hmm.
That the dark ones who have been trying to enter are finding it more and more difficult. In these last stages, they are so desperate to get back in, but the intensifying light, they are afraid of the light. They cannot accept the light and love that is intensifying as this light shield or this light grid is being expanded to totally connect into that bubble that I mentioned.
Yeah, they gave me the exact same information. What they said is that they were tearing down the old grid, which allowed the negative to function and operate, and a new
mm-hmm.
grid is taking its place. And when that's it's actually happening right now. I think it's like an ultraviolet grid that it's going to be very hard for the denser frequencies to even function here anymore, and eventually they won't be able to. And it creates a quickening, and a quickening in the, you know, the manifestation process, as well as the action reaction or karma, whatever you want to call it. So things are going to start moving very, very fast, and you know, basically they're saying heaven is coming to earth, and it can't be stopped. It's the divine plan, and we're going back to the original plan.
Do you get the impression that any of those ships are man-made?
You know, I do. I think some of them might be ours. And we're also seeing a lot of military jets that are part of this process and that are vectoring in on some of these other ships. So I'm seeing all the above. I'm seeing military jets. Probably some of our back engineered stuff might be involved. Who knows? And some larger benevolent craft are involved as well.
Can you judge distance at all?
It's really hard because we really don't know how big these craft are. But they're coming over the ranch here and lighting up and just lighting the whole sky up. And one dropped in front of the military jet and powered up and just lit everything up. It was amazing. And I got it on film. So there's no way the military can say nothing's going on. You know, it's you know, because there's no possible way it did it right in front of the jet. So
I expect they will continue to say nothing's going on.
Well, we have them on
film.
Well,
the skirmishes are happening close to Earth, mm-hmm. as well as way, way outside. The forces of darkness that want to keep coming in. So it's like you said, that things are really. You know, the dark activities on Earth are really coming to an end, and the what you're seeing there is the ending of the close in to the surface of the planet.
Well, we have two lasers, and one laser goes I think one laser goes 30 miles. It's a green laser. And these are below that, because the beam would go right up to them and right about exactly where they are. And then we have another laser that goes 2,000 yards, and that one is, you know, they're just above that. So, mm-hmm. you know, they're different
elevations.
Well,
that's just saying that is low. The hearts that are still dark, that it will that are still so resistant to accepting the light that keeps intensifying right here on the planet, and the other forces that he's talking about that are trying to come in through this light shield that is ever expanding are way beyond that, way beyond the skirmishes that are taking place close to the planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can see things that are... they're probably not anywhere in our atmosphere. They're way up there. A lot of things going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're
not visible.
Yeah, there's some very low things happening, too, as well, which is interesting because, you know, jets are actually engaging these things, so they're definitely within our atmosphere.
Are they engaging or attempting to engage?
They're attempting. There's really nothing they can do. And from my contacts and information I've been getting, they said that their technology, even with the back engineered technology, there's nothing they can do with the higher beings, the more benevolent ones.
Yeah. I have watched the jets several times go after these craft, and the craft simply disappear.
Yeah, exactly. We have footage, really interesting footage. We have footage of a very large golden craft coming over. And they actually moved some hardware in, which looked like a pulse laser and some kind of a plasma weapon. And they actually fired from the next mountain range over on the ship. And you could actually see it from the ground. And I had a physicist here at the time. And he goes, oh, my God, there's firing on that ship. They're shooting at it. And it just got a little brighter. And that was it. And most of the other ones are kind of embarrassing, the chases, because the jets will be vectoring in on the craft, and it either just takes off and leaves it in the dirt, in the dust, or whatever.
That's right.
Or just disappears, and when the jet goes by, it just reappears right in the same spot.
That's,
you know, so there's really nothing
we can
do about it.
Not much of a contest.
No, it's definitely a no contest.
The other thing I'd like to touch on, and you mentioned it earlier, and that is, you know, this factor of time speeding up. Well, I don't know how you all are feeling it, but time just seems to be flying.
Oh, yeah.
It's my perception of it. And it seems to really have accelerated here within the last few months.
I feel like the lag time before the thought and the manifestation is coming much closer together. And it is almost like instant karma, because if I have a negative thought or do something, it's like, bam, it's in my face immediately. So there's definitely I think the space between the manifestations is getting closer and closer and closer, and so we're experiencing a whole lot more things in a less amount of time, you might say.
Well, and on the good and
the
positive side,
the explanation that I have received is that Earth is the only place that has linear time, you know, the clocks and the calendars. No other place in the universe has it. And as Earth is ascending into these higher energies, these higher vibrations, linear time, as we've always known it, is really collapsing. And what we are experiencing is the effects of these stronger energies, that even though we think about it as time passing faster and faster, well, not just we think about it, we experience it that way. We are moving into the continuum, the timelessness and the spacelessness of the continuum, where everything is a series of events happening now. It won't be too long before we are consciously aware that this is what is going on. And in the meantime, there's not enough time to get everything done that we have to do.
No, there
and
isn't.
Speaking of those things, both of you have things coming up. Mark, you are going to be speaking in Montreal. Would you please mention that?
Yes, this is a conference with a very fascinating title, Visions of a New World and a Transformed Humanity. And it's a very interesting conference. This thing's been going on for 30-some years up there in Montreal, and it goes for 10 days, and it deals not just with the whole, you know, subject of extraterrestrials, but it deals more with, you know, subjects like the new models of the universe and potentials of consciousness and breakthroughs in therapeutic counseling, and then it deals with ancient religions and spiritual insights and that type of thing. So I was very pleased to be part of the program, because that is more and more what I'm speaking about, and moving away a little bit from, you know, just the hardcore phenomena, which I don't know. I have seen enough and experienced enough. I don't have a lot of questions about the reality of all this, and I'm focusing more about the messages and the meaning. So that's where I'm headed, and that's what I'm going to be talking about.
That sounds very similar to the conference that you are organizing right now, James. So would you speak about that, please? James?
Yeah, okay.
I was afraid maybe we had lost you.
No, yeah, it's the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. It's on our website at www.esteady.org. And we've got a great lineup of speakers there. And what we do is we bring in cutting-edge authors and physicists and, you know, people from all walks of life that bring a message of hope, a message of transformation, and cover a lot of the ancient history and ancient past. You know, you're going to be there, I hope. You know.
Well, so do I hope so, unless we're actively moving from here to wherever we're going to be moving to.
Yeah, we've got Michal Ledwith with What the Bleep is one of the keynote speakers, Jason Martell, boy, there's a whole list. I'm trying to remember all of them. Brooks Agnew. You know, Brooks Agnew was very interesting. He came here at the last conference we had last year, and he had an awakening. He had a beam hit him in the chest, and his whole body lit up. And he felt so much, all he could feel was love and joy and bliss. That's all he could hear in his head. It's just this incredible information, and it did a complete transformation on him. And this guy's a hardcore scientist, you know, physicist, and he said that he's never experienced anything like that before, and he's used to using instruments to gather data, not his body, you know. and it totally transformed him. It was amazing watching that transformation. But because this place is a portal, like a vortex, there's so much paranormal activity here that a lot of the campers called and sent us emails, and they had all kinds of healings happen at the same time, and it was amazing. This is very documented, where they, you know, took x-rays, they took all kinds of things before they came here. They went back and they said, what happened? You know, it's gone. You know, the whatever, you know, the polyps or the tumor or whatever is gone. So, you know, I don't take credit for anything. This is between them and the ultra-dimensionals or spirit, you know, whatever happens. But it was quite amazing that when we took photographs, it was wall-to-wall light spheres in the field and even in the building. And we had some massive ships fly over and to most of the people, the 400 people that attended, almost the grand majority of them actually got to see the bigger ships coming in and the other ships as well. So it was great. Nick Bajic was here. Quite a few people were here, and they all had just an incredible time. So we're going to do it again this July 6th through 8th.
I'm going to have to come visit you up in Trout Lake one of these days.
Definitely. You're welcome to come anytime.
We get, my wife's family is in Hood River, so we get once in a while.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes away.
I know.
Yeah, you know, we've had over 4,000 eyewitnesses here of the phenomenon happening here, and you know, Boeing engineers and aerospace engineers, and even had them come on the Art Bell Show and talk about it. But NASA's been here. They've all been here, so they can't say they don't know about the place and know what's going on here. You know, they can't feign ignorance. But it's an ongoing thing, and that's the nice thing about it. It's not something that happened in the past. It's still going on if people want to have their own experience.
Well, I compliment you on that.
Pardon me, but, gentlemen, this hour just goes so quickly. I need to mention the next Matthew and Friends show, and then I'll get right back to you. excuse me, please. On May 16th, my guest will be Robert Schwartz. He's the author of the recently published Courageous Soul. And it has an intriguing subtitle, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth? I'll give you a hint on that one. Yes, we do. And Rob will be talking about what he discovered, what his research disclosed, and then I'll be adding what my sources have told me. James, you said ECT. Would you spell it out for listeners who don't already know it? And then, Mark, would you please give your website? And please, a final comment from both of you. Make it short. We have only 2 minutes. You know, some quick, profound thought to leave with our audience.
Hello?
James's phone, I think, was breaking out. So, Mark, please give your website and a final comment.
Okay. The best way for people to get to my website is, the name of the website is cosmicparadigm.com. Now, a lot of people have trouble spelling paradigm, so maybe an easier way to get there is www.ufo-truth.com, and that'll get you there also. So that's the website, and on that website we post every day the published sightings from all over the world, and there's always new information on there every day. My final comment is that this is the time when humanity is going to be undergoing a wonderful transformation, and I really would encourage everybody to take the time to investigate, to figure out what's going on. Susie, you published this wonderful material that comes from Matthew. I mean, it is just grand, and I like it so much because it covers not only the positive, but it looks at the negative very objectively and puts it into perspective. But I would encourage people to really take the time to study material like this. This is the moment of our transition, and we all need to take personal responsibility for that.
Thank you so much, Mark, for being with us today. I think we've lost James, but I am very grateful for him. Oh, you're there? Okay,
yes.
James. You're back. Okay. Well, thank you, both of you. And from Matthew and me, love and peace to the two of you and to everyone who is listening.
All right.
And
keep up the good work.
That's our show for today. And thank you all for listening, and to James and Mark for joining us today.
It's been my great pleasure. Thank you, Susie.